Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. But I want to remind you what is said in chapter 3 of Colossians. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit or appropriate in the Lord. The word for fit or appropriate means that it is that which it's come to. It's a word that means a convergence. This is what it's come to. And you know what it's come to? Is that in the scriptures, God has to say out loud that this should be done. In the creation, there was no vying. There was no competition. It was instinctive for a husband and a wife to have a certain kind of a relationship. Now it must be intentional. Now you have to make up your mind to do it. Just like in America, freedom is a great thing, but we don't have the freedom to do what we want. We have the freedom to do what we ought. And so we make laws. But now we've taken the laws and we've let, you know, some of these things stand, but some of them, hey, doesn't matter. You want a divorce? It was Ronald Reagan who actually was the first governor in America who instituted no-fault divorce. As great of a president as he was, think about the impact of that. You didn't have to go prove cause and grounds for divorce anymore. When I was a child, they had a thing called divorce court. And boy, they would just air all their laundry out there on the TV. But it was going on all over America. When somebody wanted a divorce, they had to prove grounds. They had to bring in witnesses. They had to have character witnesses. Then the kids were up for play. Today, it's not like that. You can get a divorce like that, man. I remember a couple guys talking in, kind of in a work setting. The guy said he's getting married. He said, yeah, I'm not getting married. He said, find a woman you hate and buy her a house. Because the poisoning of the mentality of the men is they're afraid. And now men don't want to marry. And women don't want to marry because they watch their families fall apart around them. And so there's no need for it. But they won't divorce their children. Now I want you to look back with me at chapter 3 of Isaiah because this is very powerful. If there's any question about what he means in verse 12 about women ruling over them, look at what it says down in verse 16. He says, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. Now the daughters of Zion is referring to all of the women who were in the society of Israel. It's a generic thing. He was saying all of the women in the society were out of control. He says, the daughters in Zion. He says, he will smite them with a scab, the crown of the heads of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels and changeable suits of apparel and mantles and wimples and crisping pins. And you know what? I don't know what they are either, but you girls must know what they are. You girls have things we don't know what are. Okay, that's it. There's a whole lot of stuff here we don't even know, but women came up with creative new things. I'm sure it could be explained, but I'm trying to be light about something that's very serious. You're a mystery to us, and you blow us away. And what has happened in the society of Israel here is that they have thrown off all the confines of decency. And he says he's going to take away the bravery of their various accoutrements. He says in verse 22, changeable apparel. Verse 23, it says the glasses, the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it says, and instead of sweet smell, verse 24, there will be stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. Burning instead of beauty, thy men, look at this. See, we know it's talking to the women. Your men are going to fall by the sword and your mighty men in war. Now, I'm not bringing this to you as you being that group. I'm bringing this to you as you being that generation. Okay, you guys are in the generation. You are the salt of the other girls. And you can tell them what's right and wrong by saying, here's what's going on out there. Look, the Bible said it happened in Israel right before they fell. This is the northern kingdom's prophet. He's talking about Israel, the northern kingdom. Isaiah is saying the world's out of control because the women are dominating the men. And because of that, the men will be killed. And you're going to be completely vulnerable. If you do a little Google search on Sweden, you would find out that it once was the most peaceful country in the earth, and now it is the rape capital of the earth. And the way that they're explaining it is that the men cannot control themselves. So pile on another thing to the men. What's really happened is the government has been taken over primarily by women who have a soft heart. Bless them for a soft heart. But this clouds their judgment, and they're letting in all these 20 and 30-year-old Muslim boys in who are called refugees. And now the boys, having no respect for women at all, are raping the women. And when they go and they ask the women on the street after their whole reputation in the earth has become the rape capital of the world, the women would say, well, men just don't know how to behave themselves. Men? That means all of us are jerks. It's not so. The Bible sanctifies the heart of a man, and he honors women. Women would not be oppressed in a Christianized society. They're oppressed in an Islamic society. You've got somebody like Hillary Clinton wearing one of her coverings as she talks to certain people as the Secretary of State. You think they really respected her? The first people that would fall would be the people they would think would be their heroes. But look at verse 25 again. It says, the men shall fall by the sword, thy mighty men in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she shall be desolate and shall sit upon the ground. Meaning all of Zion. He says they're the daughters, but it says Zion. And it says the whole society will crumble. In our generation, the feminization of men is going on, and the feminization of women is going on. And what has happened is everything's turned on its ear. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. Now, what I'm telling you right now is not a popular topic. But it says, wives, submit yourselves. Because we men are not going to make you do it. We won't. We will defer. I would ask you to watch sometimes on those roundtable discussions. They've got one called Outnumbered on Fox. You got one guy. They call him One Lucky Guy because he's in the midst of like six women. And they're all dressed to the teeth. You know, they've got their dresses on, their pretty hair, what Rush Limbaugh used to call info babes, because they're beautiful. And they're sitting there among this one guy. And when you see these roundtables where men and women are mixed, many times the men, by instinct, will defer to the woman. They don't want to argue with her as readily. Now, they're getting to sometimes, but they don't by instinct. And that's hard when a man has to feel like he's got to argue with his wife, isn't it? Now notice, it says, wives, you must submit yourselves as is appropriate, as is a convergence. You have to do it intentionally. That's in chapter 3 and verse 18. You have to do it intentionally. You're serving the Lord Christ in verse 17, it says. But look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Why would they be bitter against them? You know, it's funny. I'm convinced that men, because they're clueless sometimes, have a hard time becoming embittered against their wife. They're just glad you're there. I'm glad my wife likes me. I am so glad she likes me. I am so glad. Thank you. Thank you for liking me. But the thing is that we don't know what to do sometimes. And we don't know what we've done sometimes. And the next thing you know, we're up against the wall and we're like, we just want it to be simple, and it's not. And if it continues to be not simple, men can become bitter. If it continues to be not simple, men will become bitter. And this is where Solomon says three times in the book of Proverbs, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling and a contentious woman. Yikes. You say, well, that's a misogynist Bible. No, the Bible is God's word. He's letting it be known that there is a tendency to use your words to the point of destruction. I would reference for you, and if you want to write it down for future research, I would reference for you 2 Samuel in chapter 6. And toward the end, it's like 23 or 24 verses, so in the 20s you could start. But it is in 2 Samuel chapter 6 that David has brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. And after he's brought the ark in, he's down there leading it like the jester in the parade. He's down to a loincloth and he's dancing and he's doing somersaults. He's a young man. He's got angst. This is the best thing in the world. I've brought the ark in. Everybody's rejoicing. He's measured out some drink and some meat for everybody. It's a party. It's a good day. His wife's an uptown girl up in the ivory castle looking down, and she's disgusted at it. He walks in, he's happy, he wants to get a big hug from his wife, a kiss, an admiration. He walks in, she says, oh, wasn't the king glorious today? You sure made quite an impression on all the servants and the handmaids. And he looked at her and he said, God himself has chosen me over your father, listen to this, and over your house, which means Jonathan. He loved Jonathan. He was so aggravated by what she said, he said things he would never have said before. He said, God chose me, and I will be even more crazy and more unglued in front of the people if it honors God. And it concludes the chapter by saying, and she would never have children because of that day. It probably wasn't that she was barren. It was because she was not called for by the king anymore. See, there's a whole lot of power in the Bible. And when we understand how things unfold, guys, the word to you and me, don't let yourself become bitter. David didn't do the right thing in doing what he did, but you got to remember, David loved Michael, and Michael loved David. She warned him Saul was going to kill him one night, and he ran. She loved him. But when he finally had run for so long, she married another guy. And when David was ready to get the kingdom back, he says, send me Michal. I want my wife back. He loved her. He called for her. He wanted her. In spite of the fact that it would be a little embarrassing. I mean, after all, she was given to another guy and he's bringing her back. He says, I don't care. I love her. I want her back. Again, the man throwing his reputation out there into play because of the woman. Husbands, love your wives. And I want you to know something. This is not Ephesians chapter 5. We tend to put them together, and that's not good because there's a different set of circumstances there. In the end, he's going to say, I speak a mystery that's talking about Christ and the church. He doesn't do that here. What he's saying here is, wives, you need to submit yourselves, means arrange yourself under your husband like a colonel and a general. You need to defer. You need to encourage. You need to buoy up. You need to speak words of admiration. And you'll see him charge hell with a squirt gun if you're for him. And this is why he says, this is appropriate. This is what God designed. The man's going to be animated by the woman. The same thing he can be is diminished. But it says, husbands, love your wives. It is imperative. You must love your wives. And it says, don't be embittered. It doesn't say, if she does, verse 18. It says, just do it. And the word is imperative. You must love your wives. If you let your eye fall back into the passage, up a couple of verses, it says that it is the bond of perfectness. In verse 14. The bond of perfectness is love. And as a man, we have to love even if they're not doing what they are supposed to be doing. We have to love them. We don't get a bye because they didn't do their thing. And you don't get a bye, ladies, if he's not doing his thing. We all are serving who? Verse 17. The Lord Jesus. We just are serving him. And so that's a huge deal, guys. It's a huge deal. It's a didactic truth. It's truth that will transform. It's truth that will help it make sense. It is appropriate. It is fitting in the Lord. Get under him. Be the wind in his sails. As a woman, nurture and take all the things that are instinctive and they're still intact. And use them to help him to be a man in a day of the feminization of your country. That is the calling. Don't let it get on you. Don't be a competitor, be a companion. And fellas, if they're not, if they've got that whole thing going on, you have to navigate that with the bond of perfectness. You have to be a person who loves like Jesus loved anyway. And you have to forgive. Don't become embittered. Like David put her away, he never saw her again. And he says, do not be bitter against them. It takes a lot, I believe, for men to get bitter against their wives. If it has come to that, then it might need be a time for real confession before the Lord, and you need to get rid of the bitterness. And ladies, if you know you've had a part in it, you can tell them, I'm so sorry. I've not meant to be a threat. When women have more education, when women have more opportunities, when women have more words, men just say, you know what? I'll just go over here. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.